Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, The Charani of the Milk Ocean, text number 21. Dharma kvachit tatra nabhuta sauridam. Tyagat kvachit tatra namukta karanam. Viryam napumsam. Viryam napumsost yaja vega niskritam. Nahi dvidhiyo guna sangavardita. Dharmaha, religion, kvachit, one may have full knowledge of. Tatra, herein, not, bhuta soridam, friendship with other living entities. Tyaga, renunciation. Kvachit, one may possess. Tatra, therein. Na, not. Mukta karanam, the cause of liberation. Viryam, power. Na, not. Pumsaha, of any person. Asti, there may be ajavega niskritam, no release from the power of time. Na, nor, he, indeed, dvitiya, the second one, gunasangavardita, completely freed from the contamination of the modes of nature. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Someone may possess full knowledge of religion, but still not be kind to all living entities. In someone, whether human or demigod, there may be renunciation, but that is not the cause of liberation. Someone may possess great power and yet be unable to check the power of eternal time. Someone else may have renounced attachment to the material world, yet he cannot compare it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is completely freed from the influence of the material modes of nature. Purport. The statement dharma kvachit tatra nabhuta sauridam is very important in this verse. We actually see that there are many Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists and religionists of other cults who adhere to their religious principles very nicely, but are not equal to all living entities. Indeed, although they profess to be very religious, they kill poor animals. Such religion has no meaning. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8 says, Dharmak swanustitak pumsam vishvak sena katasuya. Nodpadiyat yadi ratim shrama evahi kevalam. One may be very expert in following the religious principles of his own sect, but if he has no tendency to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his observance of religious principles is simply a waste of time. One must develop a sense of loving Vasudev. Vasudev sarvam iti saramahatma sadurlabha. The sign of a devotee is that he is a friend to everyone. Suridam sarabhutanam. A devotee will never allow a poor animal to be killed in the name of religion. This is the difference between a superficially religious person and a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find that there have been many great heroes in history, but they could not escape from the cruel hands of death. Even the greatest hero cannot escape from the ruling power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Krishna comes as death, this is described by Krishna himself, Mrityu Sabha Harashaham. The Lord, appearing as death, takes away the hero's so-called power. Even Hiranyakashipu cannot be saved when Nrisimhadev appeared before him as death. One's material strength is nothing before the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation again. Someone may possess full knowledge of religion, but still not be kind to all living entities. In someone, whether human or demigod, there may be renunciation, but that is not the cause of liberation. Someone may possess great power, and yet be unable to check the power of eternal time. Someone else may have renounced attachment to the material world, yet he cannot compare it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is completely freed from the influence of the material modes of nature. The aim of human life is to get free from the material modes of nature. And Krishna says, mam chayo vyabhacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is fully engaged in devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once attains to the platform of Brahman. So, Brahma means Brahma-bhuta, Brahma-bhuta-prasanatma, nishoshiti nakangshiti samak-sarveshu-bhuteshu man-bhaktim-labhate-param. The preliminary requirement to actually enter into devotional service is to be fully engaged in Krishna's service, which means not to be engaged in either hankering or lamenting, and be able to see all living entities on the same spiritual level. Just like someone may be driving a Rolls Royce and someone may be driving a rickshaw. Prabhupada said he had experience in India. The person driving the Rolls Royce is saying, hey, rickshaw. He thinks that the person is the rickshaw and that he's a Rolls Royce. But by the cause of karma, that Rolls Royce driver will probably become a rickshaw driver. And maybe the rickshaw driver, in the course of time, may have a Rolls Royce. So the body, the car, is changing, but the driver's always the same. Now, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that religion begins with understanding that we're supposed to be servants of Krishna's servants, and that Krishna has a purpose of coming to the material world that to give all living entities the opportunity to participate in yajna, or sacrifice. That means all living entities have the potential to be engaged in sacrifice. And that if one inflicts harm rather than engaging them in sacrifice, then it's a greatly sinful activity. And if one is sinful, there's no question of being religious. Pariksha Maharaj came upon the Shudra beating a bull and a cow who represented the four religious principles, namely truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy. And the Shudra beating on the cow signified, and the bull signified, especially the bull is the personification of religion, dharma, and also the cow. So these religious principles are the basic principles of religion. That's why they're called religious principles. And they're destroyed by illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. So if a religion is teaching its followers to kill animals, and what to speak of taking intoxication and illicit sex and meat eating, gambling, mental speculation, then it's not actually religion. They're not regulating anything. One is not regulating the senses. The only way of actually regulating the senses perfectly is to engage them in Krishna's service. But even if one doesn't engage them in Krishna's service, at least there's a potential to understand Krishna's service, the value of devotional service, if one's mind is not completely agitated by sinful activities. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma et indriya pritya aprinoti nisadamanye yata atmanoyam asannapi klesheda ashadeha. Nunam, Maharaj Rishabhdev, was completely surprised. How is this possible? Pramatak, that these crazy people, kurute vikarma, and they're engaging in activities for happiness, but they're actually just getting misery. They actually want love, they want appreciation, they want so many different things, but actually they're simply getting problems because they're crazy. They don't know what to love, or how to love, why to love. They love to gratify their senses, but their senses are never gratified. They love their body, but their body is simply inflicting pain and misery upon them as a reciprocation. Therefore, they're pramadak. If you pay someone to beat you, then you're crazy. If your aim is to become happy and you pay someone to beat you, how are you going to become happy? Yatendriya prita aprana sadamanye yata atmadavya. So a sane person, one who knows something about reality, he doesn't act in that way. Asannapi kleshida ashadeha. Because he knows that this body is temporary and he'll have to get another one after another. Asannapi kleshida. It's full of misery and it's temporary. Paravas tava dabodha jata. Therefore one is said to be defeated by ignorance. We may think, well, we're doing a great job in ignorance. They're glorifying us. I got my name in the world book of records because I put more pins through my tongue than anyone else in the world. So I become famous. Now my whole body looks like a porcupine. So I've made it. People will think about me forever. The human porcupine. But it's pramadak. It's pravavas. We've been defeated by ignorance. People are appreciating how stupid we are. That's all they're how crazy we are. And of course, they're also crazy. So they want to become even crazier than we are. There's a competition. Who's going to become the most insane? I remember when I was in college and people started to take, well, I guess maybe before I was in college, but the people were taking LSD, even when I was in high school. I didn't take it, but there was one of my friends knew someone. They had came up with something called STP. Anyone ever hear of STP? It's because probably no one takes it anymore. It's supposed to be 1,000 times more powerful than LSD. You take it once, you don't come back. You become completely insane. Your whole life becomes one hallucination. So someone took it and he was very proud. I'm there. He's already there. Yes, he's crazy. He's completely mad. And he's never coming back again. So there's a competition amongst the ignorant who could be the craziest. Just like in passion, who's going to become the wealthiest, who's going to become the most powerful, and in goodness, who's going to become the most pure? But these are all false ego because we don't become anything other than what we are eternally are. We're just involved in illusory activities which will bind us in the material world so we suffer forever. So one is defeated by ignorance. No matter whether one acts in goodness, passion, or ignorance, one is still defeated by ignorance because even goodness has some quality of ignorance in it. Why? Because our consciousness is clouded, or the mind is clouded, when one acts in the modes of nature. And when the mind is cloudy, the consciousness is unclear, And when the conscience is unclear, we take one body after another. So the amazing thing is that we're supposed to be Krishna conscious all the time. Not just a little Krishna conscious, we're supposed to become so Krishna conscious that we don't even notice the material existence anymore. That's our objective. So if I think I had a good day, good for what? What was my day good for? I ate nicely, I slept nicely, etc. Was that a good day? And the night was good too because I don't remember anything. It was a perfect night. I was completely dead. So actually perfection is kirtane aksada hari, but it's only achieved, how is it, just like every morning we hear, or we're trying to hear, trinada pi snichena travi sahishnuna amarina madadena kirtane aksada hari. How do we come to this platform of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him? What is the requirement? Take a memorization course? Or as I know, one devotee, he decided, oh, it's so difficult to remember Krishna all the time. So he got a harmonica stand, and he wrote the Hare Krishna mantra on it. So all he could see was the Hare Krishna mantra, wherever he looked. Unfortunately, he didn't know anything else except for that. That was his methodology. Unheard of before. He thought he was going to conquer the material nature with a harmonica stand. And indeed, he would walk around the temple chanting Hare Krishna regularly, and then he decided it was too boring, so he went outside, circumambulated the block, chanting Hare Krishna. One day, then he started to do two blocks and three blocks, and one day he disappeared. So without the basic formula, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I don't have any taste. That's why I don't remember Krishna. I chant Hare Krishna, and I could chant Mickey Mouse. It has the same effect on me. The only difference is that I remember a mouse when I chant Hare Krishna. I remember the form, at least, and his associates. But when I chant Hare Krishna, I don't remember anything, except for all my anxieties start flowing through my mind. One devotee told me, I can't chant Hare Krishna. It agitates my mind. I'm sure it agitates a person's mind. No, it probably agitates their mind. What happens is the person finally becomes a little conscious, then becomes conscious of how agitated the mind is. Before, they're walking around with an agitated mind, the thing is completely normal. And then when one becomes a little conscious that my mind is agitated, then one blames it on the Hare Krishna mantra. Or the other analogy is that when one is during the winter, that's why we're going to the winter now, that one is lazy, so one is sweeping, but sweeps underneath the rug. And then there's no more dust, the house is clean. But if there is a spring cleaning, then one lifts up the rug in the spring and all the dust comes out. And you blame it on the rug. Why is the rug so dusty? Because you put dust underneath the rug all the time. That's why it's so dusty. So when we chant, that which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, at the end like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So when we chant, all the dust starts flying in our mind, and we blame it on the mantra. We don't realize we were the ones who accumulated all that nonsense in our mind, and now the Mahamantra is trying to cleanse it, and we're thinking, I better stop chanting, it's agitating my mind. Similarly, with people, trinada peace to nichena, they don't lie. They haven't come to the material world to become humble. They came here to become God. Although when God comes here, he's very humble. But when we come here, we're very puffed up. God comes here to become a servant, And we come here to become God. That's the difference between us and God. So if we're going to become God, we have, at least on this planet, we have practically 8 billion people to compete against. So it's a struggle. Therefore, people are very happy when they hear about catastrophes in the world. They think, oh, 300 people died, 300 less competitors. I've gone 300 up the ladder. But, amanina madadena, one has to become tolerant. The first thing, become tolerant to all our crazy ideas that we have. And we have to be able to appreciate that all living entities are potentially servants of Krishna. They can make Krishna happy. It's not very difficult. They don't have to become rich or famous. They don't even have to change their gender. Nowadays, many people are dissatisfied with their gender. So they change their gender and then they want to change back again. They change back again and they think, well, the other one wasn't so bad, so they want both genders. Maybe 3 would be better. Oh, 4 is 4 times as good. So they're thinking the secret of life, of happiness, is just multiply your genders. Or do anything you can. Try anything. See if it can bring you happiness. But they don't understand actually happiness is to appreciate others, other living entities, appreciate what Krishna is doing in this world and help and assist him in his mission. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says something similar. How are we going to amanima dena kirtina? How are we going to become appreciative of others and offer them respect without trying to get respect ourselves? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yari deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh amar aga guruhana taridesh. That whoever we meet, our first impulse is to become envious of them. Why are you alive? You're competing with me. You should die. Make me happy. Then I'll have one less competitor to become God here. No, actually, although these nonsense things may come to our mind, you know, usually in the material world, a man meets a woman and says, hi, I'm Romeo. And she goes, yeah, I'm Juliet. We should get along. Or as I said before, someone may think, well, I'm not Romeo, I'm Mickey Mouse. And she says, no problem, I'm Minnie Mouse. I'm Tarzan. Well, I'm Jane. And this way the world is going on. All this false ego. So, in spite of the fact so many ideas may come to our mind, we have to, by practice, even if it's mechanical, think, I'm not Tarzan. I'm not Jane. I'm not Mickey Mouse. I'm not Minnie Mouse. I'm not Romeo. I'm not Juliet. I'm not this. I'm actually Krishna's eternal servant. And whoever I meet, I actually think, what can I do to help them somehow or another make progress in their endeavor to go back to Krishna? That no one, nothing here belongs to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. And I should assist Krishna in helping his other children go back to the spiritual kingdom. Then one is in reality. One's madness is being ended. And if during the day we're not thinking like that, then we're just crazy, that's all. Even when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're imagining we're a nice person, or whatever else we're imagining. Nowadays, nice people, they finish last, so people are thinking, I'm not a nice person, I'm a villain. I'm a good villain. I'm the best of the villains. Whatever we're thinking, whatever goodness, passion, or ignorance, it's all ultimately a waste of time unless we're actually, somehow or another, we hit the right button and we actually think, what can I do to help this person become Krishna conscious? and do that, act as an instrument for Krishna, to do that, then that moment is perfect. Then we're actually doing the right thing in that moment. Therefore, we examine Prabhupada's preachings, we'll find out that Prabhupada said so many things, did so many different things, and people think, well, Prabhupada didn't know what he was doing. He was an old man from India, brought up in a certain Hindu culture from the British times, spoke British English, and therefore he was confused when he came to this modern world, this great empire of the Western world, progressive, where the actual reality is being realized at every moment. No, Prabhupada, he wasn't contradictory at all. Krishna's instrument, Prabhupada knew perfectly what to do to help anyone he came in contact with make progress in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes by loving exchanges, sometimes by anger, sometimes by neglect. But Prabhupada was perfect in his manifestation of Krishna's energies, his divine mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we may not be so expert, but the way of becoming expert is by practicing. And certainly any activity of illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, etc., this is going the wrong direction. It is going towards hell. That's why society is what it is now. That's why this so-called pandemic and so many people are sick and dying, and it's all due to the fact that people are sinful. That's according to Ayurveda. There's no germ that's killing everyone. It's the sinful activities that people are performing that's ending their lives earlier than they would hope for. So as long as people are sinful, as long as they're engaged, especially in those four sinful activities, all you can expect is pestilence, war, famine, destruction, because these are the four gross activities that lead to that. And subtly engaging these activities will gradually lead to the gross activities also. So in this age, practically speaking, it's one or the other. Either we fall into passion, which will lead us to ignorance, or we fall into goodness, which will lead us to Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, we can just take the Krishna consciousness directly, which is the only way of actually being in goodness in this age, except for the fact that we could wash our hands and not think about Krishna. Washing our hands before we eat is also goodness. But it's better to wash our hands and think about, I'm doing it to please Krishna. Then it's pure goodness. Then there's some possibility that anta kale tamam eva smrak mukva kalevram yak priyati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya, that anyone who remembers me at the time of death, then he'll attain to me without fail. Otherwise, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajan dhyankut kalevram tam evaiti kuntiya sadata tad bhava bhavitaha, that whatever we remember at the time of death, will attain to that state without fail. So we're trying to purify our minds so that we can obtain Krishna. That means we're trying to purify our minds by thinking about Krishna, by constantly chanting the holy name, which is possible by learning tolerance, humility, and giving up false prestige, that I am this body, people should respect my activities in my body, and be able to perceive how others are engaged in Krishna's service and respect them for that according to the level of devotional service that they're rendering. Then there's a possibility of constantly chanting Hare Krishna. And we find it hard to chant our 16 rounds if, you know, we feel good. The best time of my day is when all my calendar beads fall down. Then my heart beats faster. That if we don't have a taste for the holy name, we should understand. It's these three problems that we have. We're not humble. We're thinking we're this body. We think we're the ones who are producing our intelligence. We take credit for so many things we don't deserve credit for. And we don't take credit. We don't take responsibility for the so many things that We should take responsibility due to our lack of Krishna consciousness. And we're not tolerant. We only want to associate with people who stroke our false ego. Oh, you're a nice person. You're the best person. You're wonderful. You never do anything wrong. Everything about you is wonderful. Don't dare criticize. Oh, I don't. Not a hint of criticism. No one can correct me. Any correction just like bounces off me. Teflon. I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. And I don't give respect to anyone unless they respect me, and then I superficially or I respect them. I come to the Hare Krishna movement, everyone's calling me Prabhu. Of course, or Dasi. How dare you call me Dasi? I'm a Prabhu. I'm the master. That we appreciate. Everyone's calling me Prabhu. But when I say Prabhu, my fingers are crossed. I don't really mean it. I'm just being polite. Try and be my Prabhu. Try and lord it over me. I'll give you a lecture on reality. To actually learn to appreciate others, rather than the first thing we think about is some criticism. And we think, yeah, that's right. I have so many justifications. Even our intelligent kicks in and says, why are you criticizing? Why? This is the reason. I have a whole list of reasons why you should criticize that person. Isn't there anything good about them? There might be, but it's not on my list. If our objective is bhakti or love, how can you love someone you're always criticizing? Imagine you get married and you have a wife or a husband. Every time they see you, they tell you something is wrong with you. Why are you always criticizing? Because I love you. Isn't there anything nice about me? No, the only thing nice about you is that you love me. Otherwise, you're all rotten. Wow, I'm really getting enthusiastic. My love for you is just expanding. Always wanted someone who's going to tell me I'm dirt. No, the only way we can actually love is actually shows at least some, find something to appreciate. And if we can't do that, better off to not associate very closely. Otherwise, our relationships will simply get worse. Sometimes they have these things about, let's talk about it. They talk about it and they wind up killing each other. Talking about it means, let me convince you about what I have to say. And if you're not convinced, it's because you're a demon. You're unworthy of my association. You talk and I think about all the things I'm going to say in response. Then I talk and you think about all the things you're going to say in response. But we never hear each other at all. We never accept each other. We never appreciate each other. We talk, we try to work things out, and things just get worse. Because the basic principle of appreciation, respect, etc., just isn't there. And what to speak of thinking, how can I help this person, this spiritual soul, make progress in going back to Krishna? Otherwise, compared to that, everything else is so superficial. Whether we have blue curtains today or red curtains, whether the jiva came from Vaikuntha or from South Brooklyn, it makes really no difference, ultimately, whether people remember Krishna or not, which is a whole important thing, is whether we're actually becoming Krishna conscious or not. In other words, whether my idea becomes heard and it becomes accepted and I get the credit for it. And I mentioned Krishna. Yeah, he helped out a little bit too. He's a nice person. Yeah, he could help you too. But anyhow, take shelter of me. That's material existence. And if you don't, you don't deserve to be here. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Thank you very much, Maharaj. A short or maybe not so short, comment about the personalities that are revealed by the acharyas.
Okay.
From this verse. So there were someone who is, this is 21, full of dharma, knowledge of religion, but not is not kind. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says this is Shukracharya who has to minister to demons, and therefore his religiosity is not as good for the other living entities. Jiva Goswami says Parashuram.
By the way, who's Shukracharya in astrology?
Venus.
Venus, yes. So Venus gives a lot of opulence and beauty, but not necessarily. Venus is also the incarnation. Who's the incarnation for Venus?
Actually, Parashuram.
Parashuram, yeah. The one who killed. Big killer. So Venus looks very nice. Has very a lot of beauty and wealth and opulence and nice music and everything. But it's like a sword in a velvet case. A little inattention and your head's cut off.
Yeah, it's often puzzling why Parashuram would rule Venus, be the incarnation for Venus.
Because from lust, which is Venus, naturally comes greed and anger. If you don't serve Venus nicely, then greed and anger come, or at least anger eventually comes.
At any rate, so here they are also both mentioned, Shukracharya by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Parashuram by Jiva Goswami and Sridhar Swami.
Yes.
That one may know that Lakshmi Devi is saying that, okay, some of these know Dharma very well, like Shukracharya and Parashuram, but they are not so kind.
No, if you Arjuna, what was his name?
Kartavirya Arjuna?
Kartavirya Arjuna, he probably found that out pretty quick.
That's the next one. So this is the example from Jiva Goswami and Sridhar Swami, that someone can be very powerful, like Kartavirya Arjuna, but he will still die. So like Kartavirya Arjuna and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives Shumbha Nishumbha to powerful demons who were blessed to never die unless they killed each other. And then those who are extremely qualified but still not up to the mark are explained here to be Sanaka and other Kumaras. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that there is no idea of transcendental beauty and aroma in Kumaras.
In the Kumaras? Okay. Well, before they went to Vaikuntha.
Yes, before, yes. 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 So these are the and Jiva Goswami even gives Lord Shiva there.
For what?
Who is connected with the modes.
Oh.
Therefore.
Superficially.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anything else?
Yes, a question. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that a devotee will never allow a poor animal to be killed in the name of religion. At the same time, it seems that Srila Prabhupada says that those who are too attached to meat, they can kill a goat and do it in a religious way, chanting mantras, appropriate mantras.
Yeah.
And so how do we reconcile this instruction?
Well, they're obviously not pure devotees who are doing that. They're following some religious principle for those in the mode of ignorance. But it's not a very high religious principle. It's for people who are in the mode of ignorance. It's not even necessarily even for the it's not even a member of the four orders which are trying to end their suffering. Because if you kill a goat and eat it, you're just causing yourself more suffering. But at least it's being regulated. So So it's a semi-religious principle. Religion meaning being regulated. So you're being regulated. So eventually you can come to the human form of life and actually become religious. So there are different degrees of religiosity also. But religion is generally meant for regulation at the lowest stage. We think of religion as a very pious person. But actually, Prabhupada said human form of life actually begins at the brahminical stage. When one is actually human, humane. Other than that, even the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and the shudras, not considered completely humane unless they're actually devotees. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I made a note that at several times you said happiness is appreciating others, serving others, and I do concede that point. But sometimes I have found that when I appreciate someone, they take it in a negative way. They either suspect me of some ulterior motive for praising them or appreciating them, or they even say, please don't praise me. This will only stroke my false ego. So I don't want you to say anything nice about me like this.
So they just say something that's the worst you can think about. Make them happy. No, appreciation. If one is actually Krishna conscious, vidya vanaya sampane brahmanigavi hastanu, shuni chaiva swapakecha pandita samadarshana. That the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. So if one is actually Krishna conscious, one will see the soul along with Lakshmi Narayan in the heart of every living entity, and that's the appreciation. And how Lakshmi Narayan is manifesting the soul's desires. We can also appreciate that, especially if the soul is engaged in Krishna service. At least on the intermediate platform, there's some discrimination how we appreciate. Respecting people within the mind who chant Hare Krishna, cooperating with those who are spreading Krishna consciousness and practicing it, trying to help innocent people and avoiding the atheists, trying to serve Krishna. So there's some differentiation in how we appreciate according to the level we're on. For a pure devotee, they only see Krishna everywhere. Mm. They think everyone is a devotee except for them, but obviously it's not going to help us imitate such a person, because that's all it is, an imitation. But some appreciation should be there. It says if one is chanting Hare Krishna, one should respect them within the mind. Mm. Not that you're chanting Hare Krishna and now you become the most beautiful person in the world. You're the most intelligent. No, we respect them because they're chanting Hare Krishna. Mm. And we give them praise, which will help them make advancement in devotional service.
Mm.
If we appreciate someone, that's for our benefit, for our happiness. You see some, but we shouldn't all at the same time, deny just because someone has some good quality, start to appreciate all their bad qualities too. You're the best of the thieves, I really appreciate that. The way you eat meat with your fork is fantastic. I wish I could do that. We have to have some reasonable... We have to know what's appreciable and what's not appreciable. We should know what's to be done and what's not to be done.
Mm.
And appreciate what's appreciable and, try... Unless we're in a... we can do something to help them, just ignore the things that are bad or if we can. Unless we can instruct them and help them improve, then we should try to see the good things rather than all the bad things.
Mm.
Believe me, we don't have to worry about criticizing anyone. That unless we criticize them, then somehow or another they won't be criticized. They'll be missing out on our expert criticism. Even if we don't do it, there's plenty of other people lining up to do it. We don't have to take that role. There'll be plenty others. But as far as love and appreciation, that's a very rare quality in Kali Yuga. People go lifetimes without getting any real love in Kali Yuga. So if we can put a little real love, then people's lives may be lit up and be changed for the better. not by criticizing them. They're getting plenty of that.
That's true. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.